We honor you. We love you, Lord God. We thank you. You are worthy of all praises. You are worthy of all honor. Lord, I pray, bless this session. And as I speak, Lord, give me the strength and wisdom. Lord, we just love you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, once again, as I said in the other sessions, if you like to learn about the Christian faith, the best and the basic source of the Holy Bible, which is the Word of Jehovah God. Please use that. God is a generic. I don't want to use that word anymore. Politicians are using that word. We are not politicians. Okay? We are true believers of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you will know the truth and truth will set you free. And we need to speak the truth. And if somebody wants to learn about Islam, the best and the basic source is the Quran. So we need to use those things. And in this session, I also have some of the sayings of Muslims from their websites. So we're going to be using those. And we are in the session called the Holy War, Jihad, according to the teaching of Islam, the Quran, and the Hadith. Here in this slide, we see Sheikh Mustafa bin Said Atim. He says, quote, "It is no surprise that the Jews and the Christians deny the Quran. What is amazing is that some ignoramus and traitors from among the Muslims say the Jews and Christians are brothers. But Allah, who told you that wild animals can become human? Can wild animals give birth to anything other than wild animals?" And this he did, the preaching in Mecca on a www.memri.org, December 20th, 2002. Again here, one of the imam, the Muslim priest from Saudi Arabia, jihad against them. He, Jews and Christians, is our worship. Muslims must educate their children to jihad. That is the greatest benefit of the situation. Educating the children to jihad and to the hatred of the Jews, the Christian and the infidels. Educating the children to jihad and to revival of the ember of jihad in their soul. This is what is needed now. And this, Muhammad Fahid, a 23 years old, born in Pakistan, who lived in USA, from the age of 3, said, "Our brother and sister, again, not Americans, but Muslim, we must not recognize any government authority or any authority at all beside Allah. The only relationship you should have with America is to topple it." Muhammad Siddiqui, the one who joined Bush in a prayer meeting, said, "I believe that as a Muslim we should participate in the America's system to safeguard our interest and try to bring gradual change." He said in March 18th, 2003 on a World Net Daily. Muslim children born in the USA, an 8th grader Muslim said, "If I had to choose sides, I would stay with being a Muslim. Being an American means nothing to me. I am not even proud of telling my cousins in Pakistan that I am American." He said in a Muslim student way, question of allegiance, Washington Post, October 16, 2001. One of the Muslim professor, Ali Aryan, the teaching at the University of South Florida, he showed it at the rally. "Jihad is our path, victory to Islam, death to Israel, revolution, revolution until victory." He also showed in the same year, in 1991, "Let us damn America, let us damn Israel, let us damn them and their allies until the death." And you know, all these references you can put in your websites if you like to. The president of American Muslim Council, Abdurrahman Al-Mudi, joined Bush at a prayer service for the victim, but not quite a year before September 11, 2001. He said to a Muslim group, "Here, Dr. Bill Clinton, we all are supporters of Hamas. I wish they added that I am also a supporter of Hezbollah." And that was, you know, Islam's flawed spokesman on a salon.com. It was posted on 26 September 2001. Also invited to a prayer service attended by Al-Mudi after the attack was Muzammal Siddiqui, the guy, the very first guy, if you remember, that after 9/11, there was a prayer meeting in Washington, D.C., National Cathedral Church, where three people, like the Muslim imam and the Jewish rabbi and the Billy Graham, these three were gathered together to pray in that meeting when President Bush also, you know, spoke there. And this very first speaker, he is the fundraiser of Hamas and Hezbollah for the Palestinian to do the suicide bombing in Israel. And he was the very first speaker, you know, talking about peace and love. Al-Mudi, after the attack, was Muzammal Siddiqui, the spiritual leader of the Islamic Society of Orange County. At the service, Siddiqui prayed, "Keep our country strong for the sake of the good." Only a year earlier, Siddiqui was an organizer of the rally where Al-Mudi expressed support for Hamas and Hezbollah. Then Siddiqui said, "The United States of America is directly and indirectly responsible for the plight of Palestinian people. If you remain on the side of injustice, the wrath of Allah will come." Another Muslim who prayed with Bush was Hamza Yusuf, a California-based imam. On September 20th, FBI agent showed up at the house of Hamza Yusuf, a Muslim teacher and speaker in Northern California. They wanted to question him about a speech he had given 2 days before the September 11 attacks, in which he said that U.S. stand condemned and this country has great, great tribulation coming to it. "He is not home," his wife said. "He is with the president." The agent thought she was joking. The Yusuf said, but she wasn't. That day, Yusuf was at the White House, the only Muslim in a group of religious leaders invited to pray with the president. President Bush saying, "God bless America," endorsed President's plan for the military action. FoxNews.com on October, you know, 1st, 2001. And here's you know, something I have found from the book by Steve Emerson on page 200 and 201. You know, where Al Qaeda, the Hamas, and Hezbollah are located, and if you you know, see your town is there, we'll see if they are in Florida or not. How far is that from? Okay, so Al Qaeda cell is in you know, Orlando, and you know, over here, so you can see that. So all those places. What? And Tampa? Okay. So all are the here. Okay. This is what happened when the shuttle was crashed. Sheikh Dr. Ali Al-Tamimi, an American citizen, said, "The whole world heard about the shuttle crash. Undoubtedly, the heart of every believer, I mean Muslim, leaped with joy at the disaster of his greatest enemy." Ali Al-Tamimi said, "In my heart arose some thoughts that I would like to share with my brothers. First, the name of the shuttle, Columbia, is from Columbus, who discovered the American continent in 1492, following the fall of Granada, the last of the stronghold of Islam in Andalusia. It is known that with the discovery of the two American continents, the Byzantine, that is the Christian of Europe, exploited the resources of both these continents in order to take over the Islamic world. With the fall of the Columbia, a thought arose in my heart that this was a powerful sign that the supremacy of the West, and particularly that of the U.S., which began 500 years ago, is about to fall, Allah willing, as happened to the shuttle. The American continued, the shuttle crew include an Israeli astronaut, about whom with the Israeli ambassador to the UN said that he bore with him all the hopes and aspirations of the Israeli people. Thus these hopes and aspirations burned up, Allah willing, in the fall and the burning of the shuttle. He said, CNN announced at the beginning that the shuttle fell near the city of Palestine, Texas. I said to myself, Allah is great. Thus, Allah willing, will America fall in Palestine? Jihad through drugs. Abdul Rashid, the head of the Taliban's anti-drug control force in Kandahar, split up the nature of his unique job. He is authorized to impose strict ban on growing of hashish because it is consuming by Afghan as a Muslim. But Rashid tells me without the hint of sarcasm, opium is permissible because it is consumed by kafir, the unbeliever in the West, and not by the Muslim or Afghans. And that is Ideals and Realities of Islam by Sayyid Hussaini Nasser, page 59. Who cares if heroin is wrecking, you know, havoc in the West? It doesn't matter they aren't Muslim. Muhammad by Maxim, you know, Rodinson. You can, you know, see Benton books, 1980, page 205. Muslims should not use tobacco. Quote, most of the tobacco manufacturers are Jewish, and in order to destroy the Jews, we must not consume their products. Jews are the enemies of Allah. Now we'll talk about the, you know, what Quran talks about, the jihad of the self-defense. Fight against those who fight you. Surah 2 verse 190 and Surah 22 verse 39. It is to protect churches, synagogues and the mosques. Surah 22 verse 40. It is to fight for the cause of evil men, the women and the children. Surah 4 verse 75. Now the question comes up here. As Muhammad was growing in the power from the silent jihad to the, you know, the jihad of the self-defense, here, you know, he was still trying to gain the favor of the Jews and Christians. And he said, you know, we want to do jihad, number one, to protect our lives and families and, you know, the homes. And the second, you know, it is, we want to do jihad in order to protect churches and synagogues. But if you see the reports of today, how many churches and synagogues have burned by the Muslims in the Muslim countries? Why they are not protecting churches and synagogues today? Because those revelations when Muhammad received, those have been abrogated, cancelled, no more in authority. So that's not what, you know, what Muhammad said in the first place. It is to fight for the cause of evil men, the women and children. What is happening in the Muslim country where Christians are in minority and they are raping the Christian girls? Even they don't care for the little children and persecuting. I remember that, you know, when my hometown was attacked, Muslims, they drilled and nailed into the legs of old man and woman there and told them to deny the name of Jesus. They said, no, we're not going to do it. We will not do that. Jihad is the economic gain. That's the whole deal. To capture much booty, the plunder, the wealth. We have a book there. It's called Islam and Terrorism, written by Mark A. Gabriel. It's a very good book. And he explained that jihad Muslims are doing, not because Allah wants them to do jihad. It's a lust, the greed they have in their hearts to take over in the whole world to capture their wealth. It is a trade. You know, Surah 48 verse 18 and 20, Surah 61 verse 10 to 11, 9 to 111. It is a best action, according to Hadith, Mishkat, volume 2, chapter 23, verse 19 of page 249. Looting of Muslim by other Muslim was strongly discouraged according to Surah 4 verse 94. But Muslims are allowed to loot the non-Muslim. 20% of all the booty should be given to Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. You know what happened? According to Surah 8 verse 41. What happened in that period of time, those other war leaders, those who were there in the time of Muhammad, they were taking 25% for themselves. And Muhammad come up, you know, with this idea, okay, if you will fight for the cause of Allah and when we will have the booty and the plunder, you know, what's going to happen? You don't have to give me, you know, 25%. You will give me only 20% and, you know, you can take 80%. So you can save 5% more by joining my group. So that was the deal. But there were some Muslims, they said, you know, we don't want to take part in jihad for economic reason. Rich Muslims try to avoid jihad. Surah 99 verse 86 and 87. We want to enjoy life with our family. Surah 9 verse 83. And distant land. We don't want to go. It's too far for us to do jihad. Surah 9 verse 41 or 42. Heat of the desert. It's very hot out there. Surah 9 verse 81. The temptations of beautiful Syrian women. Surah 9 verse 86. They were presenting all these excuses that we don't want to take part in jihad. So what happened? Allah brought the new revelations to enforce and impose jihad on them. So this is what happened here. Reinforcement of jihad. True Muslim do not avoid jihad. If you are true Muslim, you must take part in jihad. According to Surah 49 verse 15, Surah 9 verse 44. The person who take part in jihad, his rank is above than the other Muslim. Surah 57 verse 10. Avoiding jihad will mean painful doom and hell. If you're not taking part in jihad, you know, Allah will punish you. Allah's wrath is going to be upon you. According to Surah 48 verse 16 and 17, Surah 9 verse 90, Surah 9 verse 81, Surah 9, you know, and then 94 and 95, Muhammad will neither attend their funeral nor pray for them. If you're not taking part in jihad, you know, Allah, you know, Muhammad will not be interceding for you. Surah 9 verse 84 and 85. So if Muhammad will not intercede for you, you will not be able to go to paradise. The deal is here. You know, what they tell that at the on the day of judgment, what's going to happen? You know, Muhammad will intercede for these people on their behalf and then they will be able to go to paradise. And if they will not take part in jihad, Muhammad will not intercede for them. So they will not be able to go to paradise. People cannot escape death. Surah 4 verse 77 and 78. Here Muhammad was telling them, look, you guys are coward. Why are you afraid? If you will stay in home, Allah will kill you in your house. So you better die in the holy war. If you will die in your home, you will not make it to paradise. But if you will die in the holy war, you will go to paradise. Followers of the of previous prophets fought for them. You know, like Moses and Joshua and all these people and their followers, they fought for Moses and Joshua. And Muhammad is the prophet of Allah, so Muslims should fight for Muhammad. Surah 3 verse 146 and 147. Allah killed thousands of people and then brought them back to life. Surah 9 verse 86. Those who take part in the fighting are better than those who go to pilgrimage and do other good works. Surah 9 verse 19 and 20. Muhammad trained all his men except the handicapped to take part in jihad. And that is, you know, reference is taken from Al-Hadith, Mashkat, Al-Masahab, Volume 2, Chapter 23 under the organization, page 341 and 342. What Quran says about the other people? Quran says, first of all, you about the Muslims. Surah 3 verse 110. Ye Muslims are the best community that have been raised up for mankind. Muslims think that they are the best people in the world. Surah 8 verse 55. Lo, the worst of the beasts in Allah's sight are ungrateful who will not believe. If you are not a Muslim, you are worse than animal. That's what this verse says. And Surah 98 verse 6, quote, "Verily those who disbelieve in the religion of Islam, the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, from among the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, and al-mushrikeen, the idol worshipper, will abide in the hellfire. They are the worst of the creature." This is what Quran is saying. He's speaking against Jews and Christians and calling them evil animals. Surah 5 verse 54, "Jews and Christians should not be friends. O ye who believe, take not the Jews and Christians for your friends and protector. They are but friends and protector to each other, and he amongst you that turns to them is one of them." Surah 5 verse 33, "The recompense of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, do mischief in the land, is only that they shall be killed and are crucified, their hands and their feet be cut off from the opposite side, are be exiled from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and the great torment is theirs in the hereafter." Surah 9 verse 29, "Islam instructs Muslims to fight until their opponents submit. Fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor acknowledge the religion of the truth, even if they are the people of the book." In the Quran, people of the book are the Jews and Christians. "Until they pay tribute with the willing submissions and feel themselves subdued. Fight and slay the pagans wherever ye find them, seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in a bush for them in every stigma of war. Therefore," according to Surah 47 verse 4, "therefore when ye meet the unbeliever in fight, smite at the necks. At a length when ye have thoroughly subdued them, bind a bond firmly on them." End of this quote. Jihad for personal salvation. Merit of martyrdom according to the Quran. Truly Allah shall remit the evil deeds and truly bring them into paradise. Surely pardon and mercy is only for the martyr according to Surah 3 verse 195. Martyrs are alive with their Lord. Surah 2 verse 154 and Surah 3 verse 169. With their rewards and their lights, Surah 57 verse 19. Martyrs' feet will not touch the hellfire, according to Mishkat, volume 2, chapter 23, on page 23, verse 8, and page 345. Jubilant because of the rewards, Surah 3 verse 169 and up to 171. So all these are rewards for a Muslim martyr. His sins are going to be forgiven. He will go to paradise. He will be celebrating. His feet are not going to touch the hellfire. Then the person who become a martyr, he also become an intercessor. The intercessor for the relatives. Surah 4 verse 69. The doors of paradise are under the shadow of the sword. According to Mushkat volume 2 chapter 23 verse 9, page 345. But Bible says if you will use the sword, you're going to die by the sword. But Quran says, and the Hadith says, if you will use the sword, the doors of paradise will be open. And I always wonder, those martyrs, those who are becoming a martyr for Allah, when they open the eyes on the other side, they might be shocked. Man, Muhammad promised for us that we will have, the paradise and all the pleasures. And here the flames are going up. Here, other physical rewards, a person who will become a martyr for Allah. According to Hadith Tirmidhi 1067, his abode is in paradise. He will go to paradise, preserved from the punishment in the grave. What is the punishment in the grave? According to Islamic traditions and faith, when a person died, that person should be buried in the same day, because two angels are going to be coming in that grave, and they're going to ask him a question. How many sins you have done and how many good things you have done. So they will come with a book. So when the person will become a martyr, he will not, be questioned by those two angels. Kept safe from the greatest terror. He will have no fear when he will die. A crown of honor made of ruby. then he will also get a 72 of the virgins as his wives. And when Muhammad shared this idea, what happened? He was losing a war, and because his soldiers were running after women and liquor. So the Muhammad said, you know, you're running after one woman, when you will go to paradise, fight for the cause of Allah, you know, you will have not a one woman, you're going to get a 72. And you know, you're not going to have a one bottle of liquor, you will get rivers of liquor. And then his followers, they ask him, Muhammad, it's quite a, you know, challenging thing. It's a very difficult job to have a 72 wives. And Muhammad said, when you will go in paradise, Allah will give you the strength of 100 men. So one day I was thinking that, you know, Allah must have a pharmaceutical company there in paradise to take care of those guys. Beside the woman, they will also get the guys, women and immortal youth. Surah 56 verse 15 to 18. These guys, those who will become a martyr, they will also get the, you know, get the guys for sex. Intercessor for 70 of his relatives. You know why the Muslim parents are sending their children for the suicide bombing mission? Because they believe if my son or my daughter die in the holy war, jihad, Allah is going to give them 70 coupons to get them into paradise. What Quran says, what they're going to have. Surah 52 verse 19 and 20. Eat and drink with the happiness, because what you used to do, they will recline on the thrones arranged in ranks, and we shall marry them to her fair female with the wide lovely eyes, and we shall provide them with the fruit and meat such as they desire. Water flowing constantly and fruit is plenty, whose supply is not cut off, and reclining on the couches raised high, verily we have created them a woman of special creation and made them virgins of equal age. Surah 56, verse 31 to 37. Gardens and vineyards and young full-breasted virgins of equal age and full cup of wine. Surah 78, verse 32 and 34. Now the Muslims, they say, you should not drink. Everything which is prohibited here, they will have that thing, you know, over there plenty. Muhammad says concerning martyrdom and jihad, I would have loved to be a martyr in Allah's cause and then made alive and then martyred and then made alive and then again martyr in his cause. And that reference is taken from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 1, hadith number 35. Muhammad revealed the death of a martyr is almost painless. A martyr does not suffer when he is slain any more than one of you suffer from being bitten by an ant. Al-Tirmidhi, hadith number 402. Jihad against idol worshippers. Not to befriend non-Muslim parents and brothers. Surah 9 verse 23. I remember that one of the hadith, Muhammad's father-in-law, Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he became Muslim, he was fighting against those people, those who were the enemies of Allah, and his son didn't become a Muslim. But later his son became a Muslim, and they were talking, you know, father and the son, they were talking together, and the son said to his dad, you know, dad, you know, the father in that battle, you know, you came many times under my sword, but my love for you, you know, stopped me not to kill you. And the Muslim dad said, you know, if Allah could have given me a one chance that you could have come under my sword, I could have, you know, killed you. So if you are a Muslim father or mother, they do not care if they are, you know, if they have to kill their own children. And I have seen that, you know, many, you know, Muslim parents have killed their own children because they rejected Islam and accepted, you know, the Christ. You know, this is what happened. Idol worshippers are unclean. Surah 9 verse 28, Surah 9 verse 5, Surah 8 verse 67. You know, here, take not Jews and Christians as your friend. Jews are the greediest of mankind. Surah 2 verse 96. Surah 2 verse 65. Those who broke Sabbath, the Jewish people, Allah changed them into apes and monkeys, despised and hated. Allah changed the wrongdoers who broke the Sabbath into detested apes. If people of the book will not believe, Allah will change their faces and turn them back to front or curse them, as He did to the Sabbath breakers. Allah's command is always executed. Those who broke the Sabbath were changed into apes. But thank God, it never happens. Those people with whom Allah was angry were cursed and turned into swines and apes. Fight them. The true translation should be like this. Murder the Jews and Christians because they do not believe in Allah and His messenger and in the religion of Allah. Jihad against the people of the book. You know, the Muslim will tell you that you are not idol worshipper. They will say, Jews and Christians, they are not infidels. They are not the idol worshipper. But let's see what Quran says. Those who have given the portion of the scripture are cursed by Allah. God gave the scripture to the Jews and the Christians, but according to the Quran, they are cursed by Allah because they believe in idols and false deities. Surah 4 verse 51 and 52. Jews says Ezra is the son of Allah. Christian says Messiah is the son of Allah. Surah 9 verse 30. They commit great sin who say Allah has a son. Surah 19 verse 88 and 92. Fight with the people of the book. And same thing is written in Surah 8 verse 39 and the Noble Quran. Kill them. Jihad against the sin. Now this is very interesting. Now Muslims are preaching here that we are doing jihad against sin. But let's see what Hadith says about sin. They should really fight against sin or not. Here in Hadith Sahih Muslim, verse number 1278, Allah's Apostle, peace be upon him, said, He said, by Him in whose hand is my life, if you were not to commit sin, Allah would sweep you out of existence and He would replace you by those people who would commit sin and seek forgiveness from Allah and He would have pardoned them. Now you can see, here Allah gave a license, a permit to the Muslim to sin, and if they will not sin, Allah will not be pleased with them. And how a Muslim can say that we are doing jihad against sin, we are fighting against sin, that is not real. Then this is something, jihad by deceiving non-Muslim. Muslims are not bound by their oaths. Surah 66 verse 2. For example, when you go in the armed forces, don't you take oath? Yes. You take oath that you will fight for your country, you will shed your blood for your country in order to protect your country. But this Muslim soldier from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, he threw grenade on his, two American soldiers and killed them. The Muslim chaplains doing the same thing, providing the information to Al-Qaeda. Muslims are allowed to lie when they are in danger. Surah 16 verse 106. As I mentioned, they can say from their mouth, but from their heart they should deny. Let's go back to the oaths and treaties. What happened? Muhammad made a treaty with the people of Mecca that they will not have war for 10 years. But after 2 years, he became powerful and he went back and fought against the people of Mecca. They asked him, "Oh Muhammad, we have a treaty." He said, "What treaty? Muslims are not bound by their treaties." The same kind of things were said by Yasser Arafat, that we are making treaties with the Palestinians, with the Israelites, just the way our Prophet Muhammad made a treaty with the people of Mecca. Jihad with the pen. Al-Tabrani, Ibn Hazm, Ahmadinejad, these guys have written hundreds of books against the Christians and the Jews, and they're doing jihad with the pen. And after 9/11, they also doing jihad with the pen by, reporting in the newspapers, in the media, that how Islam is a wonderful, good, peace-loving religion. They're doing jihad with the pen. Jihad by deceiving non-Muslim.
Amababu Hamid Ghazali says he's a great scholar between in both sects, like Shiite and Sunni. He says speaking is a mean to achieve objectives. If a praiseworthy aim is attainable through both telling the truth and lying, it is unlawful to accomplish through lying because there is no need for it. When it is possible to achieve such an aim by lying but not by telling the truth, it is permissible to lie if attaining the goal is permissible. And that is, the book Traveler, translated by Mim Keller, Amna Publication, 1997, section R8.2, page 745. Imam Jafar Sadiq said, indeed, 9/10 of the religion is taqiyya, lying. He who does not practice taqiyya is devoid of this religion. Islam taqiyya is a mandatory for each and everything except in drinking alcohol and massage dry ablution on the socks. Now, what is a taqiyya? Let me explain to you a story. One day, Muhammad's son-in-law, he was sitting on one chair, and there was another chair, empty next to him, and he was sitting there, and a guy came, and he was running. And he said to Ali, Ali, there are some people, those who want to kill me because I have killed their man, and I am going to this direction. But when they come, don't tell them that I have gone through this, I have gone on this way. Ali said, okay, I will not tell them. So those people came and asked Ali, Ali, have you seen a guy running from this direction? But what Ali did, in the meanwhile, when the guy was gone, Ali stood up from that chair and sat on the other chair, which was right next to, Ali, which was empty chair. So when those people came and asked, Ali, have you seen a guy running on this direction? He said, since the time I'm sitting on this chair, I have not seen anybody. So he just changed the chair. He was sitting, for example, let me explain to you. He was sitting on a chair A. When he made a promise that he will not tell anybody about this man who killed the people. But, and when he promised, he stood up from that chair and he sat on the chair B. And then the other group came. And they asked him, have you seen a guy? He said, since the time I'm sitting on the chair B, I have not seen anybody. This is the taqiyya mean. Imam Jafar Sadiq said, one who exposes something from our religion is like one who would intentionally kill us. Asul al-Kafi on page 88. Imam Jafar Sadiq said, you belong to a religion that whosoever conceal it, Allah will honor him, and whosoever reveal it, Allah will disgrace him and humiliate him. Asul al-Kafi on page 522. Surah 47 verse 35. So do not flatter or cry out for peace when you will be the uppermost and Allah is with you and He will not grudge, the reward of your action. So here he's saying that when you are, winning the war, don't go for peace. Just keep on killing. And here, and those who disbelieve are allies with one another, and if you do not behave the same way, there will be a fitna and oppression on earth, and great mischief and corruption. Surah 8 verse 73. So here he is explaining that if you are living in a country that you have to work alongside with the non-Muslims, Jews and Christians and other people, so this is the condition, how you have to behave, how you have to live with these people. In this case, such believers are allowed to show friendship to the disbeliever, outwardly but never inwardly. For instance, Al-Bukhari recorded that Abu Darda said, this is the word of Muhammad, this is what Muhammad said, we smile in the face of some people, although our hearts curse them. So this is what, the condition. You might say, I have a wonderful, nice Muslim friend, but this is the way they are doing. Then Sheikh Abdullah Ghoshal former Chief Justice of the Kingdom of Jordan, has written an essay entitled Jihad in a Modern Time. Al-Tabrani quoted in his book, Al-Wasat, quote, lies are sin except when they are told for the welfare of a Muslim or for saving him from a disaster. And then the next thing, believer, Muslim, and in a weakened stage in a non-Muslim country should forgive and be patient with the people of the book. Jews and Christians, when they insult Allah and His Prophet by any means, believers should lie to the people of the book to protect their lives and religion. This is the way they need to do. And that reference is taken from the book by Mark A. Gabriel, Islam and Terrorism, Charisma House, Lake Mary, Florida, on page 91. Muslim social practice encourages every form of deception, exhorting lie as a virtue and cultivate craftiness. Surah 3 verse 54, Surah 8 verse 30. How could we possibly be expected to understand a faith whose founder, Muhammad, recognizes God, Allah, as the greatest of all deceiver? Surah 3 verse 54, Surah 8 verse 30. The Bible claimed that Satan is the father of all lies. Clearly, neither our vocabulary nor our principle have anything in common. Amen. How much time we have? Yeah, I'm going to keep finish this. Okay. Jihad through marriage. Marry a Jewish and Christian woman. Surah 5 verse 5. So this is the doing. An adulterer can marry an adulteress. Surah 24 verse 3. What it mean? In a Muslim country where Christians are in minority, they can go and kidnap a Christian woman. Now she has become adulterous. So now, because the guy have raped her, so now she should marry this man. Then temporary marriage, Surah 4 verse 24. The Quran allow the Muslims that if they are out of town, out of their home for a week or a month, they are allowed to, you know, have a wife in the other town. So it's like a legal prostitution. You just pay what you enjoy for. Jihad by disobeying non-Muslim government. Surah 24 verse 52. Obey not the disbeliever, but strive against them. Surah 25 verse 52. Obey not the commands of prodigals. Surah 26 verse 151. Obey not the disbeliever and hypocrite. Surah 33 verse 1. Obey not of them any guilty one or disbeliever. Surah 76 verse 24. Now here, if you go in the Muslim country, they will tell you America is a Christian country. So it is one of their goal, and it's in their mind that they need to fight against America and Europe. They always think that way, that these are the Christian countries they need to fight against, because this is what Quran tells them to do that. Jihad against those who oppose Muhammad. If anyone oppose Allah and Muhammad, her head should be cut off and fingertips. Surah 8 verse 12 and 13. Now here, you can see it very clearly that you're not supposed to oppose Muhammad. You're not supposed to, you know, do anything against Muhammad. Like, you know, what happened about the cartoon. You know, that was like opposing Muhammad. So according to the Quran, those people should be killed. Then if anyone preaches to the Muslim, I just put the gospel, if anyone preaches to the Muslim and take them away from their religion, that person should be killed. So the preacher should be killed, and the person who become a Christian, that person should be killed. Both of them should be killed. Jihad through mysticism. As I mentioned that they're doing jihad, it's very common among the Sufis. Sufism. Now the conclusion, does Muhammad bring peace and love? Muhammad conquered Mecca with the sword. He slew all those who would not submit to Islam. Jesus killed no one, and he gave his life in Jerusalem for his enemies. Praise Jesus. But love conquers all. Amen. We are called to love our enemies. We need to love these Muslim people. They are deceived. They are ignorant. They are blind. And it is our job to show the light of Jesus Christ, that their eyes could be opened and they could be set free. So, I believe that every Muslim deserves to hear the truth. And every Christian needs to know the facts of Islam. Amen? Let's have a break here. Praise Jesus.